In the beginning, there was a creation of a small plastic case. In this case, there was an item called a DVD. When the DVD was placed inside the machine, the first movie was being watched. This allowed the Extra Features podcast to begin.
Welcome to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode number 179, and I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
Still and forevermore, the intern.
And as usual, it's just the three musketeers here.
I invited the fourth caballero, but he was busy. He's at the Silent Film Committee or something of Toronto.
They don't say much.
No, they're very quiet.
How's
your week's been, Cav? I hear they've been exciting with Toronto Comic Con.
Well, we just recovered. I'm recovering from Toronto Comic Con. And then I've been upgrading myself this week as I recover from it.
Con crud?
What's that?
The con crud got you?
No, I went to the optometrist and got new glasses. I went and got new shoes. Today I went and got new clothes. So I just feel like it's time for an upgrade.
Where does Kevin go to buy new clothes?
To various stores.
Oh, I go to one and I'm done.
What's your store?
I go to Old Navy and then I order everything else online from Old Navy. Or I go to Big and Tall. I'll go to Big and Tall for shirts.
Well, I'm a big guy, so I went to George Richards. And
yeah, that's where I go.
I used to go to, Walmart used to be a source of cheap clothes, but not that I like Walmart that much, but they seem to have scrapped their plus sizes. So.
Really? I thought most of the customer base was plus sizes.
You'd think so, but not men.
No.
I guess.
Maybe men don't go there. We all go to George Richards.
Plus size women, I guess. I don't know about that. That's a judgment. Although I did see a lot. They actually have a plus size women's section, but there's no plus size men's section.
I'll check in my store next time I go for you and see if it exists.
Well, you know what? I got two nice pairs of jeans, so I'm happy.
Awesome.
So I'm all set because I'm off to Dallas this week for Fan Expo Dallas.
Cool. Isn't that where you had an episode last year?
No, that was Orlando.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
MegaCon Orlando.
I knew something happened.
What's that?
I knew you had some problem down there.
Texas, they eat a lot of cow.
Perfect. You'll like that. You can go fish.
All right, boys and girls, what's our first movie?
John Wick 2. Did you see it, Kevin?
John Wick Chapter 2, yes. Directed by Chad Stahelski. Oh. Starring Keanu Reeves. And that's really all that matters. There were other people in it, but it's really Keanu Reeves and maybe a dog.
Somewhere.
Who wants to kick off this one?
Bob?
I haven't seen it, so you two go ahead.
Oh, okay. I've
not seen John Wick 2. Oh, my God.
I've seen John Wick 1.
You haven't seen John Wick number 1? It's a classic.
He hasn't seen Gladiator or Taxi Driver. Just add that to the pile.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can only watch Sing so many times, Bob. You got to watch other movies, too.
He hasn't seen Godfather 1 and 2 or Shawshank or Vertigo.
Shawshank? You haven't seen Shawshank? Oh, my God. All right. Well, how about I'll start? John Wick Chapter 2 is awesome.
It is. I loved it. Absolutely what I wanted in the sequel.
Not as good as number one, but I think that's because number one was the intro to the world of John Wick, and this was building upon that.
But it worked for me, but I didn't know half of New York were assassins. Nobody told me.
Apparently everybody works for the agency.
Like, that was insane. Everywhere he goes, more guys. I'm like, I do like how it shows him picking up the guns. Like, after you kill somebody, he takes their gun.
I think that I like that because he doesn't have an unlimited number of bullets on him. So, but hopefully you don't pick up a gun that's empty.
No, I like that though. But I like how they made that effort that he's always constantly picking up guns.
I like that he put thought into what guns he would get and where he would place them on his run, so that when he hit certain marks, he would know, okay, this gun is here and I can pull that out.
Yeah, I thought that was great. Like, I really thought they put some thought into this.
Yeah.
Which I quite enjoyed. I was like, oh, okay, good. So they're thinking long term. And I like... Go ahead.
Oh, it's this is definitely setting up a sequel, like a part of a trilogy. So, Like, it seemed a little unfinished.
Oh, I think that was evident. I think they thought there was going to be another one, too.
And I think there is another one planned.
Next year?
Yeah.
So they shot them back-to-back then, probably.
No, this type of movie doesn't take a lot of advanced work. I mean, it doesn't take 3 years to do a John Wick.
That's true. Definitely not.
No.
Okay. I like the world building. I really liked him going back to the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how where he gets his clothes done and where he gets this done, where he gets that done. It was all laid out. I liked the Morpheus overacting.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Lawrence Fishburne did a good job. I quite enjoyed this film. I enjoyed the first one. I shockingly enjoyed this one just as much.
Yeah. Exactly. This was quality entertainment.
He had his dog still around. Like, they kept continuing things. I thought the continuity was very good.
Oh, it was a new dog, right? Yeah.
It was a new dog? Oh, they killed his dog. Sorry. But they did give him another dog, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Again, because they killed the first dog. That's why he went nuts.
I know. You know, the first movie, they killed John Wick's dog, and he went crazy. Yeah. And this movie, they blew John Wick's house up, so he went crazy.
Well, that was kind of rude to him, to blow his house up.
Yeah.
But the guy did have a mark for him, so he should have followed through.
So John Wick was kind of in the wrong.
Yes.
He should have done the job for the guy.
I agree. I think he should have.
But that wouldn't have been a good movie. So I like the ending. It was very Enter the Dragon with the mirrors and everything.
I think it was an homage to Enter the Dragon. I totally took it that way. I thought that guy was going to die right in that mirror section for sure.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? It was an interesting twist that he fled to the hotel, and we spent a lot of time establishing that the hotels are off limits. You cannot do anything to anybody in one of the hotels. And you know, we saw what happened to that woman who tried to kill him in the first movie in the hotel and what happened to her. And so now we get to see what happens to John Wick when he violates that rule.
Yeah, I thought it was just kind of weird when they said to him, when the guy goes to him, you know, Mr. Wick, you know how many food meals I can have here? Hundreds. I never have to leave.
Yeah.
I just thought that was interesting the way they did that.
I was trying to say, I could stay here forever if you want. You know, I'm very patient. I have a lot of money.
Yeah, I thought that was good.
Mm. So I would definitely say a solid, like, 9 out of 10, 8, 9 out of 10.
I gave it a 7, so that's pretty good on my score.
I don't really have a lot of complaints to it. It seemed I didn't quite like the plot as much as the first one.
Yeah, I agree, but I mean, it was nice to go back to character. I enjoyed it. It still had a lot of action. It still made sense, and it built upon the character.
I actually thought the opening sequence didn't really make much sense.
Yeah, it was kind of weird, but that was okay.
All right, well, speaking of weird, our next movie is Kong of Skull Island.
Starring John C. Reilly, Brie Larson, Tom Hiddleston, and the Chinese woman that was cut in our copy that's back in the Chinese version.
Oh, really? There's another character who was cut?
Ah, she's in it briefly. They introduce her, then she goes away. The Chinese lady? She's in it, and we only see her for like 2 minutes.
Okay.
But she's in the Chinese cut longer.
Interesting. And the movie's directed by Jordan Vogt Roberts.
Okay. Who I've never heard of in my life, so I don't know who he is.
So, essentially, it's 1973, and our good friend John Goodman is in charge of a secret branch of the government called Monarch. I believe.
Yep.
The same Monarch Corporation that we saw in Godzilla, interestingly enough. And so anyway, he's convinced that there's something in the South Pacific, shrouded in clouds and under a storm front called Skull Island. And since the war is over in Vietnam and the soldiers are coming home, let's investigate this now before the Russians go and look into it. So he goes to Vietnam, he recruits Tom Hiddleston as his tracker, and Samuel L. Jackson and his crew of helicopter pilots as his military force. And then somewhere along the way, Brie Larson joins in as a photographer, not necessarily for Greenpeace, but, you know, for one of the magazines. And then the fun starts.
I think this movie was phenomenal.
Did you see it, Bob?
Yes, I did.
Oh, good.
I saw this in IMAX 3D.
Oh, wow.
I saw it in 3D.
I spent the money, said, screw it, I want to see this, so let's do it.
I saw VIP 3D.
It blew me away, right off the opening scene.
Yeah.
When the two planes landed, I'm like, where the hell is this film going? When the World War II jets and then Kong shows up, like, I'm in. Right there, I was in.
What I liked about this a lot was that it established that there was a history with the Kongs, with the giant apes on that island that goes back a significant amount of time. And, you know, like the ship that that the tribe that lives on the island lives in is, in fact, the Venture. And the Venture was the ship from the original King Kong movie.
Oh, I missed that. I totally missed that.
So there are lots of little asides to say that, you know what, Kong is really the name of a giant ape, and there's only one left. But there were many before that. So they could very easily have been a Kong that was taken away from Skull Island in the 1930s and died in New York City. And this is just another one, which I liked. I like that idea.
I do, too.
I don't know about the generic, weird, muscle forearm, no leg monster creatures that lived in the ground. Although there's a great John C. Reilly sequence where he says, oh, I call them skull crushers or whatever, or skull stalkers, and he says, now that I've said it aloud, I'm not entirely sure. That's a good name, but... And they're like, no, we'll work with that. That's okay.
I thought they would call them sandworms or something.
Well, I don't know. They were weird. They had, like... Their faces looked like bird skulls, but they weren't. I mean, they actually, when you looked at them close up, you could see that where the skull sockets were, beside them were eyeballs.
Yeah.
Sort of hidden in the side. So, anyway, I like this movie. I thought it was good. That was a lot of fun. Too.
You're glossing over the best parts.
Yeah.
When
Skull
was hungry, when Kong's hungry and wants some lunch,
and he fights the squid.
Oh my god! Blew me away.
Yeah.
Just ripping this thing out, just munching it away. I'm like, that was awesome. I know that's not real, but that guy looked so real to me.
Yeah.
I mean, when he fights it looked like the opening shot of Apocalypse Now. You know, when they're coming in, they're playing Napalm.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of that right off the beginning.
And it reminded me of Predator as well.
I haven't seen Predator in so long, I don't remember it.
I've never seen it.
It starts with, the Governor Jesse Ventura, and those guys are all in helicopters with music playing.
I know the movie. Yeah. Oh, are they? Okay.
And they're going into the jungle to take on the insurgents and rescue the politicians.
I have to admit, I've saw it so long ago, I do not remember Predator 1, 2, or I don't know if there was a 3.
Oh, jeez.
It's been too long, sorry. I trust you, but it's been that long.
The helicopter fight sequence was fantastic.
Oh my god, it was amazing.
Yeah, it was
Kong just destroying them.
Well, I love it. They're just flying along, and they look at it, and you're like, what's that in the air that's coming towards them? And they haven't noticed it yet. And then it gets closer, and you're like, oh shit, it's a tree.
It goes
right into the helicopter.
I like the scene where they're right at the beginning and they're walking through those gigantic shafts. I don't know what they were called, plants.
Yeah.
And the guy just looks up and gets drilled right through the head.
By the spider.
Oh my god, I love that spider scene.
Yeah.
And they're picking up. Oh, what's that guy? I know his name? He's in a billion movies. I can't remember his name.
The guy that dies there. That's that was the guy who played Doctor Doom.
Yes. That's him, Julian Richards.
No.
No. I can't remember.
Hey, Toby Kebbell.
Okay, I liked him. And I'm just sitting there. I love this film every time I watch it. I know it's cheesy. I don't care. I like the guy writing home for his son. I'm like, oh, there's a character moment. There's the next guy. I like Samuel Jackson going nuts because he doesn't want to go back.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm so into this film. From beginning
to end. Did you stay to the end?
Of course I did.
Bob?
Yes, I did.
Did you stay to the end? You like the little, what are you sitting there in the dark for? You know, what did you think of the big reveals at the end?
Well, I knew it had to come, because my friend was really said, no, there's got to be a stinger. He goes, why? Because I know the guy set up King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that here.
I love that it's not just King Kong versus Godzilla, though. It's King Kong versus...
Ghidra. Mothra.
Ghidra, Mothra, Rodan.
Can't wait.
It's like we're going to get a whole Destroy All Monsters.
And I have no issues with that.
Which I love, you know.
Hiddleston, I thought, did a phenomenal job. Brie Larson just kind of was here, I thought. I don't think she did.
Yeah, Brie Larson just sort of was a paycheck. But I actually thought, watching Tom Hiddleston, I thought, you know what, this guy could be James Bond.
I think so, too.
Especially he's doing these great spy movies like, what's the one, the Night Gardener, is that the one?
I've never seen it. Does it come out?
Yeah.
The Night Gardener?
There was another movie I saw recently we haven't talked about, too, which had Tom Hiddleston in it. Or maybe we did review it.
Which one?
The one that's sort of set in the early 70s and they're in a building?
I don't know.
Does it ring a bell?
No.
Let me see if I can find it. Meanwhile, just if you want to talk anything else about...
Oh, I have lots more to discuss, yeah.
Okay, you tell us. You go ahead.
Come on, Bob. I like the people. I thought that was the beautiful makeup on all the natives.
Yeah, that was good.
I thought that was going to get...
I like when they see the rocks and you can see, like, you can see Kong, he's all, like, you can see, he's outlined there. And then, John Goodman, like, when they were trying to find him, there's a handprint, Kong's handprint in blood was on a rock, and so John Goodman goes like that, he says... Uh-oh, or something like that. He says, this is like the size of his hand compared to the blood-stained hand of handprint.
I thought it was weird when John Goodman gets eaten, the camera just keeps going off, and you know,
yes,
we'll see.
That was good.
When they're trying to shoot the sand creatures, I love when John Cheadle goes, uh-oh, that's a big one!
Yeah.
And then the big one comes out and Kong fights it. I like the end scene with John Reilly.
When he goes home?
I had to have that. I think I would have felt upset if that wasn't there.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it was kind of pull at your heartstrings and this and that, but I really think it needed, because I heard the original cut didn't have that scene in it.
Oh, did it?
It did.
Oh, really?
And people wanted that. Yeah. See, after I watch a film, I read a lot more about it, just because I'm interested.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that was interesting. And yeah. I enjoyed this film, which is surprisingly. I mean, I think this is going to get nominated for Best CGI.
And how much did you give it on your...
I gave it an 8.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's going to get nominated for Best Makeup of those natives.
Probably will.
Because, I mean, Suicide Squad get nominated. Oscar-winning Suicide Squad, by the way. That this will get nominated.
Yeah.
Did you find that movie, Cal?
Yes, it's called High Rise.
Yes, I saw it.
High Rise?
Have we reviewed it yet?
We have not, because you have never told me you've seen it.
Well, I did see it, so we can add that to a future.
It's on the list.
All right. Well, speaking of the list, the next movie is called Fist Fight.
Ooh, it's great film.
I even know who's in this one.
I do. It's directed by Richie Keene, starring Ice Cube, Charlie Day, Tracy Morgan, Jillian Bell, Dean Norris, Christina Hendricks, Dennis Haysbert, Kim Whitley, and Alexa Nissen-son.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, she's so important to the plot.
Well, yes, it sort of is. Because he has to go from fighting Ice Cube to see his daughter do her little shtick thing, and she's afraid to do it because he's not there. He gets there and he says, okay, let's do this. But she originally she's going to do one song, but she gets the courage because he's there. She does another song. And she says, think on that, bitch, to the girl that's greeting her like garbage.
Well, let's start the whole movie from the beginning.
Okay.
Charlie Day is like this...
Dweeb.
Dweeb, I guess, is the best way to refer it. Bob's right. You know, he's trying to be everybody's buddy, and this and that, and it's prank day at the school. It's the last day of school, and all the kids are playing pranks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole movie. So that's supposed to be the funny part of the pranks. I didn't see one funny prank, but that's it. And then at one point, Ice Cube goes nuts on a student because they played a prank in his class.
Oh, yeah, they were switching the TV off and on.
Because he couldn't figure out why his history DVD wasn't working.
Yeah.
So they have to go, and Charlie Day does and rats on Ice Cube. So Ice Cube gets fired, and then
Ice Cube has no sense of humor.
And that's how the film gets started. Kevin, this is just bad.
Yeah.
Just bad. I didn't laugh once. Nothing was funny about it. Nothing happens of interest. The only person I like is Jillian Bell in the whole film. I thought she steals most of her scenes.
Well, there was some funny. She's, what do you mean I have? I don't know. I don't have it. He's asking her because they're going to put weed in Ice Cube's locker or classroom and blame him for it. And she's like, she's on drugs all the time. But she's, what are you talking about? I don't have drugs at school. I do them at home.
How is that funny, though? How was that funny?
It was sort of funny in a blah sort of way.
The whole movie was blah. Like, this is on my top 10 worst of the year already, Kevin.
It's number one on my
top. It's actually number two on my list.
I had no interest in seeing this movie, so.
You're not missing anything. Like, I think this is just the schlocky movies they put out in February. Just hoping somebody might show up and they hit gold, like, right along.
I actually showed up in the theater for it. And there was about me and 15 people.
Well, is that when you decide to show up at 7:15 and see what was playing? Or was this
I wanted to see it, but, like, I wanted to see this movie.
Bob, you just seen John Wick.
I should have, but it wasn't there at the time.
Bob, but I was playing at 7:40 and it was 7:15, so Bob got to see the 7:15 movie.
All about timing.
It is, we thought. This is just, like I said, another one of those bad comedies.
I do plan on going to movies sometimes. You know, I see it. I went Google and I see Eglinton Town Center movie. Yes, I have. Yes.
We've been through this.
There are times when I've done it, though. Not very often, but I do.
This is one of those movies that's made for the $5 bin at Walmart. No, it'll come out and just go right to the bin and someone will go along and pick it up.
Ox looks like 25 other movies of the same type.
There were funny parts in the movie. When it was over.
What, funny that you paid $15 to see it?
$7.50. Or was it $13? I don't know. And then there was the
bloopers.
And
then popcorn.
The bloopers. That was the funny part.
Oh, I couldn't wait to get out. I didn't even want to see the bloopers.
Go see it.
See, this movie's strange. This could be like another Will Ferrell movie, for all we know.
Will Ferrell would have been perfect in it, because I'm shocked he didn't do it, actually. I guess Charlie Day is trying to take over.
Will Ferrell, what's a Kevin James, or...
No. Okay. Kevin James is on a whole lower level. It's the Rob Snyder level. Kevin James is just a level I have.
All right. Okay, so pass on this one?
Oh, yep. 100% pass. I think I gave it a 1.
Yeah, all right. Did.
Next movie on our list is Logan, directed by James Mangold, starring Hugh Jackman in his last turn as Logan the Wolverine. Patrick Stewart as Charles Xavier, Daphne Keene as Laura X-23, Boyd Holbrook as Pierce, the leader of the Reavers, Stephen Merchant as Caliban, the mutant, Richard E. Grant in a surprising turn, Eric LaSalle as a family man. And a number of other people of no real consequence.
Elizabeth Rodriguez.
Yeah, there's a character who's in it for like 10 minutes.
Okay.
And gets killed.
Okay.
I
never saw the movie. But...
So, pardon? It's the future.
Bob didn't see Logan.
You heard me.
He didn't see Logan.
No, but he had time for Fistfight.
Fistfight was before
Logan. You know, some things are important.
Fistfight was before Logan even came out.
What did you see yesterday?
Yesterday?
Did you go to the movies yesterday?
No.
Okay.
Last week, yes.
Okay. He had the Canadian Screen Awards. And
yeah, he was probably too busy to see it. So. Okay, go ahead about Logan.
It's the future, something has happened. There's no real, there aren't very many mutants left over. They've died off. Essentially, Homo Superior was a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
And a few characters... Remain, Xavier is experiencing a form of Alzheimer's where he goes into seizures and the seizures are deadly to all those around him. So he lives in a silo in the middle of Mexico. And Wolverine drives a limo around in Texas.
Isn't he an Uber driver?
Yeah, he's like an Uber driver, but he has almost like a high-tech limo that he drives around in, and the mysterious woman approaches him and says, "You have to save us, blah, blah, blah." She's got a young girl with her. Then he finds her dead, and he takes the young girl, and then these mercenaries show up to try to take her away, and it turns out that she is somehow related to Logan because she has claws and healing powers. And she is a killer. And it sort of goes from there. They get chased by the Reavers. There's some interesting quiet moments along the way. And eventually, the big showdown with a clone of Wolverine. What's happened is this company, led by Richard Grant, has been creating their own mutants from mutant DNA. And they feel that the experiment has failed. So they want to get rid of the mutant kids, and they want to replace it with a working clone of Wolverine.
Get back into doing Wolverine. He could be the clone.
Well, if you had saw the movie,
essentially it's Wolverine, old Wolverine, who is... He has adamantium poisoning, so his healing factor is not what it once was, and he's old and tired and heading towards death, as is Xavier. So he fights the younger clone. It's like fighting a younger version of himself. Huh. Savage. So I don't know. I liked it. It was long. It was sad and a little depressing. But had some great character moments, which really made the film enjoyable for me, especially the scenes with Xavier at the family dinner and in the house after. So I don't know, I liked it. What do you think, Simon?
I loved it. I thought it was the best Wolverine movie I've ever seen in my life.
I think the Wolverine is still my favorite because it's the Miller Claremont story.
I thought they did a good job on this one. I really thought they wrapped things up. I liked the clone introduction. I liked them having dinner. I love when Logan goes, "We got to keep going." Xavier goes, no, let's have dinner here. It looks good.
Yeah.
He decides to have dinner. I'm just like, they're dead.
But I liked the little moments. He said, yes, he ran a school and he was a bad teacher. And they were ad-libbing a lot in that scene.
Yeah, we find out that he killed everybody in the mansion?
Yeah, essentially we learn that one of his seizures wiped out Westchester County.
Yeah, he was a little busy.
Yeah.
I thought the action scenes were great. I like when Wolverine decides to go nuts and just take
care of everybody. The ending was small.
Yeah, but did we need a big ending?
Mm-hmm.
Did we need one?
No.
I liked how it wrapped up. I do like the ending. I know we're trying to avoid spoiling Bob, but I'm willing to discuss it. Go ahead.
Well, I thought it was interesting that the last movie presaged, predicted what would happen in this one, where the Yukio says to him, "I see your death, and your death is you're alone, and you're holding your heart in your hand, and I see lots of blood."
That's pretty much what happened.
Well, and the heart in his hand is the child. It's the look holding his hand.
I thought the child did an excellent job. The little girl, I thought she was really good.
Oh, she was great. And a lot of potential there. I mean, you know that they'll just recast another Wolverine and go forward with X-Men movies. But, a nice swan song to Hugh Jackman's career as the Wolverine.
I thought he did a great job. I'm absolutely with you 100%. Like, I have really nothing to add. I think it was a great film. I enjoyed it. It was intense.
Surprisingly, we've had a lot of good movies on this batch.
I was
for February and March.
I know. I thought we did really well at the beginning here. Like, of the year. All these movies suck.
Kong of Skull Island and Logan really have kicked off the summer season much earlier than normal.
Well, is that the problem, that there's just too many blockbusters now coming out? They have to start...
Oh, for sure. I mean, we're almost on the verge of all of these new Marvel movies. I mean, I think we have Guardians is May the first weekend of May, and then we have Spider-Man in July, and there are a whole bunch of other movies on their way, too, that are a big deal. So, I don't know. And then, of course, Ghost in the Shell is next week, and a whole bunch of other things happening.
Well, that's what I mean. We normally see all these films in the summer.
Yeah.
So I guess now it's only January and December we don't have blockbusters. Well, December we have Star Wars, so it's only January.
Well, December is usually Oscar films and a few blockbusters. Fantastic Beasts, and there's usually a James Bond. Next year we get Justice League and Thor in November. So, or this year, I should say. So, I don't know. Well, and another Star Wars movie in December.
Which is great.
Yeah. So, our next movie on the list is animated. It's the Justice League Dark, directed by Jay Oliva, starring Matt Ryan as John Constantine, Camilla Luddington as Zatanna, Jason O'Mara reprises his role as Bruce Wayne Batman from the other Justice League movies. Yeah, a bunch of other people, too. I'm trying to think who...
Rosario really Dawson, Alfred Molina, Jerry O'Connell, Nicholas Totoro, D. Bradley Baker, Enrico Colantani, and a couple of others.
Yeah. Bunch of people I don't know. Huh. So, you know, in times when the Justice League can't fight traditional foes and there's magic involved, it's time to call together the Justice League Dark. A bunch of anti-heroes who really hate each other. So, so you get Zatanna, John Constantine, the Demon, you throw in Deadman and Swamp Thing, and you're good to go. The House of Mystery is their headquarters. It teleports around to wherever they need to be. We also have Black Orchid as the avatar of the House of Mystery.
Was that who that was?
Okay. Yeah, Orchid.
So, essentially, back in the days of Camelot, I guess there was a great villain, an evil creature, who eventually, I guess, is sort of the Justice League villain, Doc Destiny, but sort of changed for the sake of this movie. He's now more of a evil creature from another dimension that's going to conquer ours. And so Merlin, at the time, merged Jason Blood and the Demon together and was able to defeat it. And so now, you know, millenniums later, we've got the creature escaping again, and Felix Faust is involved, and the Justice League is bewitched. They can't defeat it, so Batman calls upon these ragtag mystical loners to help him. So, I don't know. I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good. I don't like these Justice League movies for the most part, but I like this one. This one fit. I thought the action was solid. The humor and the writing was pretty good. I enjoyed Matt Ryan, TV's Constantine, reprising the role as animated Constantine. I don't know. I have no complaints. Simon does, though.
Simon does.
No complaints. I've had it really choppy.
Well, it was, but I didn't. As I said, it was okay. I don't expect a lot out of these things.
I expect to be entertained. I just thought Zatanna was dull. I mean, Constantine was kind of amusing, but it was just like little shorts all the time. Something. Don't talk to me. I'm like, ugh.
I like the scene where the Justice League comes after them and they're bewitched.
Yes, that wasn't bad.
And they take out Wonder Woman and then, like, boom, Superman. Zatanna stopped Superman, but, like, you didn't even see him coming.
I just thought this was so choppy. I gave it an okay score. It just didn't do anything for me. I didn't like the voice acting. Looked like they were having a nap, too, for the most part. None of the characters seemed into it.
Okay.
I did like the House of Mystery. I thought that was the cool part when they went to the house.
Yeah.
I really, really liked the house scenes. I liked the introduction of Black Orchid. Oh. Dead Man did nothing for me. I was a big Dead Man fan, but I'm like, oh my god, he's boring.
Yeah.
It just rattles on. I'm like, kind of listening to myself.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm looking here at the credits for the film, and they don't have Dead Man listed.
He's in it.
I know. And it's somebody amusing, right?
Yeah.
I'm just looking through the credits here on IMDb to see if they've added. Okay, here he is. Nicholas Turturro.
Yeah.
We mentioned him.
So, I mean, I don't know. I think I would have liked this if it didn't have Batman in it or it wasn't a JLA-based cartoon.
Well, I think they had to shoehorn Batman in because he's Batman, right? Batman sells videos.
Well, isn't that what they do? One Superman video, one Batman video, one Superman video, one Batman video, one other video occasionally?
They don't do a lot of Superman or other videos anymore. It's all Batman and Justice League.
Well, maybe that's a problem. You know, we should need some other videos.
They kind of do.
Well, they're better than the Marvel ones. All the Marvel ones suck.
I can't think of a good Marvel one. There was one I started watching the other day, which I didn't even know was out. It was like a Captain America, an Iron Man one or something. I don't know.
I'm sure I've seen it. They're all bad. The Hulk Doctor Strange one that came out a little while ago for Halloween, that was horrible.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, it was impossible to watch. Like, unwatchable most of the time. Mm-hmm. It was just like, who writes this? Do they even think this is good writing?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they care. I think they just like, let's get the product out.
Well, so, I mean, every time I watch a DC one, I'm somewhat entertained, but the Marvel ones are just like sleepy time.
Right.
So yeah, I gave JLA Dark a 5. It just didn't do anything for me. Like I said, I enjoyed those scenes, but everything else I could kind of do without. I loved Zatanna though.
You loved who?
Zatanna. I think she could do her own film.
But I thought you said a while ago you didn't think she was that great.
I didn't think the voice acting. I like the character.
Oh, okay.
The voice actor and the character go together.
No, they can have a different voice actor. You can do Zatanna as far as I'm concerned if you can keep it amusing. Put on a little pipe and off you go.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you can catch it at the 8 o'clock. Oh, did you see it or you passed
it? I did see it.
Well?
What? Well, I was waiting for you two to let me talk.
Talk.
Okay, I agree with Kevin. I enjoyed it. I mean, like, I never read the House of Mystery comics, but I enjoyed this. Like, it's like, it's,
well, you don't need to, the House of Mystery isn't a character in any of this.
No, I know, but it's like
the comic. The House of Mystery comics were basically there was an old guy who told you stories about horror.
No, but you're like, you guys said that it traveled around to drop them at where they were going to go, right?
Yeah, but that was something that was added in. There was a comic, Justice League Dark, okay, which had the same element. They found the House of Mystery, which is the same house that the old guy told the stories on,
yeah,
now transports itself around.
Okay.
And there's also a bar as well that transports itself around. There are a whole bunch of these things that are just random. If you find the right location, you can transport yourself to this bar that's in the middle of nowhere, and you can transport yourself to the House of Mystery or even the House of Secrets.
Okay. And I've never seen a Constantine either, but I like the group that got together, and I was enjoying this. I enjoyed this film. Like,
you didn't see the Keanu Reeves movie?
The what?
You didn't see the Keanu Reeves Constantine movie?
No.
Okay.
Tilda Swinton's the villain.
Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton. That's the first time I ever saw her. I'm aware of.
All right, what's next?
She was in a
George Clooney movie, Simon.
All right, who directed Lion?
Michael Clayton, perhaps?
Right, but the
first time
Constantine was first before Michael Clayton, Bob.
Michael Clayton was years ago.
Just keep reading the... Who directed Lion, Bob?
Okay, Lion was Garth... something or other. Davis. Garth Davis. Starred Dev Patel, Nicole Kidman, Sonny Parwar, Abhishek Bharate, Anusha Chatterjee, David Wenham, and Rooney Mara. This was actually one of my favorite films of last year. Deadpool.
It was your number one favorite.
Yes,
film.
It was. That's if you'd let me talk, maybe I'd let maybe I could get that out.
We're waiting.
Because forget it. Go ahead. Just go ahead.
You're top.
Go ahead, Bob. We're waiting for you.
Okay, it was my number one favorite film. It beat Deadpool just barely, but because I really like Deadpool, but I saw this film and I really liked it. Like, it's a story of a little kid who gets on a train, loses his brother, and he spends the movie trying to get back to his roots. And then his family turns out he is also looking for him. But apparently, we're spoiling it, but we always do that. His brother died right after he got on the train.
Well, you're spoiling that, but yeah.
Well, that's what this show does. Go ahead, I'm done.
Simon?
I've lots to say about Lion. I thought this film was fantastic. For a film I expected nothing about, like nothing about the film. Because it kind of starts off, you don't really know where it's going. You're kind of like, okay. And the little boy shows up and he goes to the train station. You're kind of like, okay, where's this going? And then his journey starts. I mean, I knew the boy got lost and it was the story of him getting back to his village. But yeah. I didn't realize that he went to Australia and got adopted and then went back to his village. And how he got to his village I thought was fascinating.
I thought this was really good two-part film. I mean, it was two different movies that were sewn together. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm almost trying to interrupt, so I'm just waiting for you.
I mean, essentially you have the child story, and then you have the man story.
Yes.
And I thought Dev Patel was very good, but I thought the kid was amazing. I love this movie, by the way. I thought it was fantastic. I agree. It was one of the best of last year, and it should have gotten more awards.
I agree. Okay, Bob's saying, sorry to interrupt you, Kevin, that I thought Nicole Kidman was in India. I didn't know Nicole Kidman was in the movie.
Who do you think his mother? Who do you think his adopted mother was?
I didn't know he got adopted.
So,
I don't watch the previews.
It wasn't in the preview. It was in the movie.
Right, but I'm discussing. I knew nothing about this movie ahead of time.
So, he heard.
So I'm going into the movie cold. I didn't realize he got adopted. I thought he got adopted by maybe an Indian family.
Well, yeah, I was surprised to see David Wenham as well.
Like, it kind of blew me away that he left his homeland and went to Australia and came back.
Right.
And then I can't believe he figured it out, which is great. I'm glad he figured it out. Then he goes there and meets his mom.
Yeah.
And it's not, and never really tells you what happens to his brother until the end of the film.
No, he just says basically what happened to my brother. And then in the end, they just say, and his brother had been hit by
a train that night. That night he died, so he never came back from it. You're just like, what? What amazed me, the poverty in India was just incredible.
Wondered what happened to his brother, and then the poor guy had been, you know, gone the whole time.
And his mother never moved because of that.
Yeah.
Hoping he'd
always come back. What a heartbreaking scene when he goes in and he finds the house, and it's like an animal stall, and then the guy says, I know somebody, and then he's walking down the street and you can see his mother coming towards him, and just that connection. That was just one of the most, that was probably the single most heartbreaking moment and joyful moment in cinema last year, I think.
I agree. Absolutely 100% on board with you. My wife loved this film and couldn't believe she saw it before me.
Oh, yeah?
Well, she went out. I was supposed to see it one night, and then she said, no, I'm going to go with my girlfriends and see it. So I didn't go that night to see it.
Yeah.
So I saw it about a couple weeks later, and she actually went to see it again with me.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, wait for it. Bam! There you go! She was like, she wanted to watch it with me just to see my reaction to it. So it was kind of nice.
Cool.
But I felt kind of bad for Kidman throughout this film.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's weird. I mean, Dev's obsession with finding his real mother.
Yeah.
He says adopted mother feel like, well, who am I?
Well, I raised... Go ahead.
Yeah.
He had problems with his other adopted brother.
Yeah, his other adopted brother was kind of a creep.
He was having some issues. And Kidman could have had kids of her own. It never explained why she didn't have them.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, she says she chose not to, but who knows that, really, right?
That's what she says in the movie.
I know that, but...
But you just said who knows, but that's what she said in the movie. It was one of the things she said.
But why did she choose not to?
Because she wanted to give something to... she wanted to give her love to this guy.
She didn't say... She says that, that's... but there, I think there might be more to it.
Okay.
Right.
Do you not think so, Kevin?
I think she felt that there are people that believe that why should we add more children when there are already poor, troubled children that need homes.
I got that impression, but she went to India to get these kids, and weren't Australian kids that needed homes?
Yeah, I mean, that was a thing, too. I guess it might have been, that may have been a thing in the 70s.
Yeah, though that, I know, I mean, I can't ask the film to answer those questions. They're just questions I had, personally.
Right. And I thought Dev, he was playing a much different character than in Slumdog Millionaire, and much more, he came across as much more of a confident, like he did pull off the Australian.
He did, he did a great job on it. I thought Rudy Mara was just there, I don't think she did much.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you that it was Rudy Mara. Now that you mention it, I'm like, oh yeah, I guess it was Rudy Mara. Not a great performance or role. So I don't know. I like this movie. I recommend it. There's a reason why it was one of the best of the year. And one of those films that you could take anybody to.
I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah.
Well, it's Bob's number one movie, and I can't argue with him on that.
All right. Well, why don't we do a couple of vault movies?
Bob, can you open the vault?
Squeak.
Oh. The door needs some help, or just to be open it?
It's squeaky.
Okay. I guess Bob's got nothing to say. Okay.
Oh, did Bob... getting trashed on Lion.
You weren't getting trashed.
I was getting trashed.
How are we getting trashed, Bob?
Whatever. Just go.
I'm not going to go.
No. 9 to 5. Go. 9 to 5.
What a way to make a living.
Oh, gosh. Bob, why, Kevin, why did you watch this?
It's one of those movies that the previous generation thought was amusing, and it was a big hit. And so I'm like, you know what? I've never seen this movie, and it was on Netflix. So I thought, oh, I'll give it a watch. Dabney Coleman's funny, Jane Fonda, Dolly Parton, and who's Lily Tomlin? Was it Lily Tomlin?
Yes.
It was Lily Tomlin.
Yeah. Well, what did you think?
Oh, it was painful.
Really?
Absolutely. I thought Lily Tomlin did an okay job. It didn't do anything for me. It was very dull, I thought. I thought Dabney Coleman was excellent. But I don't think there was much to work with script-wise.
I'd see more like vignette comedy.
Yeah, exactly. I liked the vignettes with Coleman. I thought Coleman did what he was supposed to do with the script. But Jane Fonda looked asleep. Like, she had nothing to do.
Jane Fonda's, yeah, I don't. For a big movie star, I didn't think she had a lot of personality in this movie.
And I thought Dolly Parton really didn't have a lot to do.
I thought she was funny. She was a feisty southern woman, you know, like... I watched it. I can't say I think it's the greatest movie ever, but and it's not that particularly funny. But I thought it was okay. I thought I didn't hate my time. I don't feel like I wasted my time watching it.
I just wanted to keep playing the theme song over and over again. I liked the end of the movie. I thought the film wrapped up nicely.
Yeah.
I thought it made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just think it's a watchable comedy, but nothing great, nothing to stand out for me. I would definitely not be revisiting this film for a third time.
Did Bob see it?
I saw it years ago. I didn't rewatch it because I remember watching it within the 2 years that it came out, and it was okay. Like it was there, but I must have enjoyed it at the time, I guess.
All right, what's our other vault movie?
Unbreakable.
Oh, okay, yeah, in light of seeing Split.
Well, yeah, I had to go back and rewatch it anyway because I wanted to see where it went.
I've never reviewed this one, too.
Listen, I just make the list from what you guys told me to put on it.
All right, so go ahead.
Unbreakables, I loved it. I watched it again. I could see parts of Split in this, and I was looking for them, though.
Yeah.
But not heavily. I thought Split was a very minor sequel to Unbreakable. I mean, Unbreakable still blows me away. I absolutely still love this film.
Well, I mean, Unbreakable is, the twist is, again, that this is a superhero origin. As David Dunn learns that he's a superpowered guy for no particular reason. And then we learn about his polar opposite, the Mr. Glass, Samuel Jackson, who is breakable. He's fragile. So, I mean, I thought the acting was fantastic. The kid was great. I wasn't that crazy about why Robin Wright didn't want him to be an athlete or whatever. That didn't really
bother. I think she didn't like football. That's the only thing I got from it.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize Julianne Moore passed on this part to be in Hannibal. Which, I don't know, I mean, would it made much of a difference to me? No, I just don't think Robin liked why he did athletes. It didn't really explain why she didn't like them. It just sort of, she says, I didn't want to be a football player.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have gotten married.
Mm.
I don't know. I do like that Mr. Glass says, you got a vulnerability is water.
Yeah.
And in that scene when he's out of the window getting rained on, and the guy's trying to drown him.
Yeah.
How about that worked out well for me?
Mm-hmm. It had a very solid, iconic look to it. Like, this is primal superhero stuff.
Yeah, I thought it would work great.
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember the end of this film rewatching it, but I did enjoy that Mr. Glass goes to insane asylum.
My problem with the ending of this movie is how abrupt it is.
It's very quick.
It's literally, he goes in to see him, and then he learns, oh, you were behind all of this stuff. And then he turns around and he says, oh, and then, you know, Mr. Glass was arrested for doing all these things, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And he's still there, you know. And it's a boom, like the movie's over. Like Split to me, again, was the superhero origin, a super villain origin movie. And it was a nice compliment to this movie, so I'd be curious to see how they fit together in Unbreakable 2. But, you know, it's an interesting world, and M. Night used to make good films, and this is one of those.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really much to say about it. I mean, it works on all levels. I like the comic story scenes in Philly. I thought it was a little strange, that scene where he's in the comic book store, and he's in the back, and the guy's speaking to him, buddy, you gonna buy something? What's going on? I'm gonna have to call the cops.
Right.
I thought that was a really strange scene.
I think it was to show us that he wasn't quite right, and that he was working things through in his head. Things were not going the way he wanted them to, so he started just misbehaving. For the sake of, I don't know, that's the only thing I could draw from it.
Yeah, I don't know. That was probably the only scene I had a bit of an issue with. I'm like, I don't know where this scene's going.
Bobby, Dad?
Years ago I saw it. It was, I enjoyed it at that time. I didn't have to rewatch it, so I thought it was good. I didn't know it was like the basis of a superhero, though.
Well, that's the whole movie, is that David Dunn is, in fact, a superhero.
Yeah.
He has powers. He can see the bad things that have happened when he touches people.
He does. He definitely does.
Yeah. Psychic flashes. Which is interesting because they could have just played off the breakable, unbreakable aspect of it. Okay, if Glass is super breakable with his fragile bones and his condition, maybe there is a condition where someone is superhumanly strong and has super tough bones. Then maybe there is a medical condition that we just haven't found because no one's been in that position that they would have caught it. But I thought that was interesting. But adding the psychic flash and the water vulnerability meant he was more of a traditional superhero with some kind of a genetic something. Some kind of accident or something had given him these extra abilities. Anything to add, Bob, other than that, or no?
No.
Did you like it years ago?
Yeah, I said I did.
All right.
Why?
I like that movie. Quite a bit. Oh, and then you know what? I was at BMV and I picked up Turner Classics Tarzan Volume 1 and Volume 2. So there are 8 Johnny Weissmuller Tarzan movies.
So you're telling me we're doing a whole Tarzan episode coming up?
We could.
Okay, I can look them up. I saw them all of them a long time ago.
And then I picked up The Magnificent Ambersons.
I cannot find that. I've looked for it.
Well, this was in the scarce DVD section. I ended up paying quite a bit more than normal for it, but I was very shocked to see it.
$20?
$40.
I can't find it on DVD. I've looked for a long time for that film.
Well, maybe I'll lend you this one.
Because I've looked on TCM for it. It never pops up. Because I would definitely tape it on TCM to watch it.
It's definitely the only place that it will pop up on. So it's just a question of when it'll show up in the rotation again.
Well, I hope so. Because I just picked up Dial M for Murder this week.
Nice.
So I'm trying to finish off my Hitchcock movies. I just watched Roots and Simple on... I've been on holidays. I started Farmer's Wife the other day.
Oh.
So I'm going to get them all done by the end of the year. It's my plan to be done all 50 Hitchcock movies.
Cool.
In silence to the end, but I finally will finish up. We got about 5 minutes, Kev. Do you want to do Iron Fist?
Yeah, all right. So Netflix's Iron Fist debuted last week. And all 13 episodes at once. And this is essentially the introduction of our fourth Defender. So they can lead into the Defenders miniseries. And so the Defenders being Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Daredevil, and Iron Fist. What did you think?
It's okay. Really nothing happens. I like Colleen Wing a lot. I like the Meachums.
Uh-huh.
I like Mrs. Gao.
Yeah.
And that was about it. Iron Fist put me asleep.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nothing really happened for me. I just thought it had black to white direction.
I thought it started out okay. I was interested in the mystery of what happened to Danny Rand. And could he, you know, we know it's Danny Rand. So can he reestablish himself into the world again after a 15-year absence, and now he's an adult before he was a child. I thought there were nice parallels between the Meachums and the Trumps.
Yeah, 100%.
Which I thought was interesting. And then, I grew to like those characters. I was expecting a kung fu drama. Instead, I got, like, office politics.
Well, that was what I want. Same as you. I wanted more kung fu, more action, maybe a villain. Besides Harold Meacham?
And I think that, you know, they said Finn Jones was really... They cast him and they shot it 4 weeks later. So he didn't have a lot of kung fu training. He a little bit. So I thought he had an interesting style. It was a slow, methodical style. It kind of almost like he flowed with the fight.
Yes, I definitely got that impression.
But I expected to be more dazzled by the fighting. And, I like David Wenham as the dad and his crazy stuff. I love the ice cream scene. If you remember that.
What's the ice cream scene?
So the father was killed by, he died of pancreatic cancer.
Right, I know that.
And he was brought back by the hand.
Yes.
And every time he dies and comes back, he's a little bit more psychotic.
Yes, I know that.
So the second time he comes back, he wanders around the street. He's a bit of an idiot. He's like, I'm just happy to be alive.
Oh, that's right. And he goes to play at the fire hydrant.
Yeah.
And the hot dog.
Anyway, the kid that works for him picks him up and he says, what would you do if you came back from the dead? You know, what would be your priority? And he goes, I'd eat ice cream all day long. And he goes, really? That's kind of stupid. And then, you know what? He wants to be nice to the kid because the kid's loyal to him. So he says, here, I got a treat for you. And he's like, oh, my God, you got me ice cream. And he's got all these containers of these very expensive-looking
Yeah, I do remember it.
Different flavors. And he said, and the kid says, oh, put, just pass me vanilla. I'm happy with vanilla. I don't need anything special. And then he looks at me and goes, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
All of these flavors and you want vanilla? How ungrateful. And then he kills him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what a great scene. That's like, I don't know. That was like Joe Pesci.
It was.
But I overall, you know, Colleen Wing was interesting, and I would have, I liked her story more than Iron Fist.
So did I.
And I just thought that the guy should have shaved. Should have cleaned himself up and become Iron Fist. And the dialogue was hokey, and the situations were stupid. And there was a lot of stupid people doing stupid things. But every so often I thought, oh, maybe I'm getting a good show. Like, there's a scene towards the end where she's asleep in her room and then she hears this funky music. And she gets up and she goes down and there's Danny. He's got his shirt off and the Iron Fist tattoos on him. And he's doing his martial arts workout to this music.
Yeah.
And then she comes in and she joins him. And it's like sexy martial arts workout. And I'm like, hey, I'm digging this. This is kind of like, I'm kind of thinking maybe now I like these characters. They have a little bit of a connection. There's some personality. It's kind of sexy. The music's good. And then the phone rings and then boom. Now they're right back to the crap.
Yeah, I tried to like it. I really did. I finished it and went, eh, it's okay.
And I thought Claire Temple, Rosario Dawson, she's okay and she adds personal. The show would have suffered. I think the show would have suffered without her.
I agree.
But, you know, overall, I thought it was pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay.
So, here's my prediction, right? You know that the villain in Defenders is Sigourney Weaver?
I had no idea.
Okay, well, Sigourney Weaver is the villain in Defenders. And Danny Rand's mother gets ripped through the roof, but we never see her, and they never found her body.
Uh-huh.
And my guess is, and this, then Madame Gao says she worked for the Hand.
She did say that.
So, although I thought that was just a lie to, you know, kind of undermine Danny's beliefs. But I think, based on her look, that the mother is now Sigourney Weaver.
Possible. We'll find out.
That's the thing that ties them all together, is that Claire will call on the four of them to help out. And I'm hoping that it's extended, and I hope we get Hellcat and we get other characters in there as well.
When do we get that? November?
I'm not sure. I think November. Okay. It's only 8 episodes, it's not 13. But actually, that kind of brings up the whole problem, I think, with the whole Netflix formula, is that we have 13 episodes all done at one time and released at the same time.
Yeah, and I'll watch them at once.
And I think that the show would benefit if it was released in over 13 weeks.
I agree.
Or in batches, because if it was still in production, then they could make adjustments and do reshoots to make it more interesting and address some of these problems. Because if the show was 13 episodes in and nobody has seen it and they haven't addressed any of these issues and they can't see the forest for the trees, then you end up with a mediocre show like Iron Fist. No.
I'm with you. I have no issues with what you're saying. I'm totally 100% on board.
Yeah.
Okay, we better wrap up because that's the hour. I'm Simon.
Intern.
Kevin?
And I'm Kevin, and if they make it,
Bob might watch it.
Maybe.
Okay, bye.
Right.